Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Thank you for joining with us today for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We trust that you will enjoy the service and that the Word of God, as it is preached, will be a blessing to your soul. We're going to join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the world that Thou hast made. We thank Thee for all the blessings that we enjoy of health and strength and Thy good mercies towards us. We thank Thee most of all for the salvation that Thou gives through Thine only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the Son of God, who became the Lamb of God, that He could redeem a people to Himself. We thank Thee that there is the forgiveness of sins freely offered in the Gospel. And we thank Thee that we're able to come to Christ, not through our good works, but by faith alone in His finished work. Father, we pray for Thy blessing to each one who has joined us today, that Thou will minister Thy word to their hearts, that Thou would give faith to those who lack faith, and that Thou would build up Thy people in the most holy faith. We thank Thee for the gospel that is going out to the uttermost parts of the world, and we pray that Thou would bless it, that they would come from every tribe and tongue and nation and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as the Saviour of their soul. So forgive and pardon our sins today and bless us now, we ask in our Saviour's name. Amen. Our Bible reading today is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, and we're reading from the verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Amen. We'll end our reading there, and we thank the Lord for his precious, inspired, and inerrant word. We're now going to have our second hymn, which is My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness. My text for today is found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, and the verse 3. And these are the words of John the Baptist, sent to the Lord Jesus Christ. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? There are times in life whenever things do not quite meet our expectations. Perhaps you've been on a holiday and you've arrived at the hotel and you find that the hotel doesn't quite look like it did in the brochure. In the brochure it was nice and shiny, but whenever you arrive it doesn't quite meet your expectations. Maybe you purchase that new car and after a few miles down the road you discover that the seat isn't quite as comfortable as it was in the test drive. The car hasn't met your expectations. Unfortunately, there are times whenever people don't quite meet our expectations either. You maybe start that new job and only to find out that the boss isn't as nice as your employer as he was in the interview. He hasn't met your expectations. Maybe you've trusted a friend with your personal secret, trusting them in confidence, and they haven't kept your confidence. They've gone and shared your secret with others. That person hasn't met your expectations. What about the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there a time whenever he can fail to meet our expectations? Well, this certainly seemed to be the case with John the Baptist and his disciples. Let's think about who John the Baptist was, just for a brief moment. John the Baptist was the miracle child of Elizabeth and Zacharias in their old age. The Bible teaches that he was the youngest recorded believer. Whenever Mary came to Elizabeth and shared the news, it says that the babe leapt for joy in Elizabeth's womb. John was the youngest recorded believer, leaping for joy at the news of the Saviour. As he grew up, John was a humble man. He lived in the wilderness. His meat was locusts and wild honey. He was a fearless man, not afraid to preach the truth to the religious leaders of his day. He was an eminently holy man, a man separated unto the Lord and who lived a life of piety. He was a man of faith, looking for the coming of the Messiah, knowing that he was the forerunner. He was a prophet, he was a preacher, he was an evangelist, pointing men and women to the Lamb of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ even said of John the Baptist, among those born of women, there is not a greater. What a commendation from the Saviour himself concerning John the Baptist. But despite all these things, we have to remember that John was still a man. He was still a human, with human weaknesses and faults and failures. In our passage today, John is in prison. He has been arrested and he has been put in the prison cell. A man who has been used to living in the wide open wilderness is now suddenly confined to that small, cold, dark cell. And whenever John's in there, it seems that he suffers an attack upon his faith. As he's in the prison cell, he's perhaps wondering, why isn't Jesus trying to help me? Why isn't Jesus trying to get me out of this place? Perhaps John had ambitions that he would be one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps he harbored ambitions that he would travel with him and share in the experience of being one of his followers. There are those commentators who've suggested that John was perhaps trying to guide the Savior to see whether he would restore the political kingdom to Israel again. But regardless of his reasons for sending his disciples to ask this question, art thou he that should come, or should we seek another? It seems that John is experiencing doubts and an attack upon his faith. It seems that the Lord Jesus Christ on this occasion has not quite met the expectations of John. Well, if this can happen to John the Baptist, can we not be honest and say that perhaps this is something that happens to the child of God, that it happens to those with an interest in the Christian faith, that Jesus Christ does not quite meet their expectations? I want to speak in the subject here today of our expectations of Jesus Christ. Four questions I want to ask here today. First question, what expectations do people have of Jesus Christ? Well, there are a group of people, and they have the expectation of Jesus that he is somebody who should be there in their life to fix any problems that they have. If they have money problems, if they have health problems, if they have family problems, they think that Jesus should just jump in and fix all their problems and give them a life of perfection and bliss. Another group of people, they have the expectation of Jesus that he is their own personal miracle worker. They say, well, I've prayed for it, therefore Jesus must do it. I've asked for it, therefore I demand that it is done. They have entered into this name it and claim it culture, whereby they pray to Jesus and therefore they expect that whatever they ask for, he must give to them. Another group of people, they have the expectation of Jesus Christ, that he is there to satisfy their carnal desires. They say they believe in him, they say they've trusted him and that they follow him, but they want to live in the world and they want to live like the world, and they expect that Jesus will take them to heaven, but they can live like the devil here upon this world. Another group of people, they have the expectation of Jesus, that he is there to provide them with that spiritual and emotional ecstasy, to make sure that they're always happy, that there's never any problems, any trials, or any tribulations, to make sure that everything goes smoothly in their life. Well, I could go on all day, but you're getting the hint. There's people in this world, and they have a variety of expectations of Jesus Christ. And it was no different in the days of our Savior. We read of the wise men. They went to the palace seeking Jesus to be there. They never thought to look in a lowly stable in Bethlehem. We can think of Herod. He wanted to see miracles performed by Jesus. We can think of Judas Iscariot, who was expecting Jesus to usher in a political kingdom. Simon the sorcerer, he wanted the powers of the Holy Ghost. He had the wrong expectations of Jesus. Well, dear friend, can I ask today, as you listen, what expectations do you have of Jesus Christ? Maybe you fall into one of those groups that I've mentioned here today. Let's move on to our second question. Where do our expectations of Jesus come from? And this is a very important question. Those expectations that you have in your own head about Jesus Christ, where have they come from? Well, I'm going to tell you where they do come from, and then I'm going to tell you where they should come from. Our expectations of Jesus naturally arise from our own hearts. In our own head, we create these impressions of who we think Jesus is and what we think Jesus Christ should be doing, and therefore, we expect that Jesus Christ should be doing things as we have demanded. We create our own ambitions in life of things that we want to do, of things that we want to see done, and then we expect that Jesus should be doing them. So rather than coming and praying, Lord, thy will be done, we really come and pray, Lord, my will be done. So our expectations arise from our own hearts and our own head of who we think Jesus is and what he should be doing. So where should our expectations of Jesus come from? Well, very simply, they should come from the Bible. The Bible teaches us who Jesus Christ is. The Bible teaches us of why Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. The Bible teaches us of the plan that Jesus Christ has for this world. The Bible teaches us of what the Lord Jesus Christ has promised to his people. And he doesn't promise us a life without trials or troubles or tribulations. No. He said, in this world you shall have tribulations, but he gives promises of comfort to be with us always, even in our trials and distress. So, dear friend, our expectations of Jesus should be fashioned by the Word of God. If we want to know what Jesus Christ is like, come to the book. If we want to know what his will is for us in this world, it should be fashioned by this book and not by our own minds. The apostle said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we should have a mind that is fashioned by the Word of God and not by our own hearts. The third question I want to bring to you today. What do we do when Jesus does not meet our expectations? What do we do in those situations, like John the Baptist was in, whenever Jesus has not quite met the expectations that we had for him? Well, we do a couple of things. First of all, we might be prone to doubt him. That appears to be the case of John the Baptist. He sent his disciples with this question to Jesus, saying, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" John is asking the question, are you the Savior? Are you the Messiah that we have been looking for? Or should we go and look for a Savior or a Messiah elsewhere? And that can happen you and me, dear friends. Perhaps when there's those times of disappointments, whenever prayer hasn't quite been answered in the time that we wanted or in the way that we wanted, we might be prone to doubt. Our faith in him decreases, and we perhaps lose sight of him. I remember a number of years ago, whenever I was in Scotland, I was going round door to door, and I met a man in the garden, and he told me that he used to be an elder in the church, but he said he didn't believe in God anymore. And I asked why. He said, God didn't help me when my business was failing. And I asked further questions. And he said that he was able to turn his business around. And I said, well, can you not see that God helped you and he gave you the wisdom needed to turn your business around? And the man got very angry and he said, God didn't help me. I turned my business around and not God. Because God didn't answer in the time and in the immediate way that this man wanted, he lost faith and he stopped believing. And that can happen to many people. Another thing that people do whenever Jesus doesn't meet their expectation is they distance themselves from him. They say, well, Jesus isn't answering in the way I want, so I'm going to withdraw from him. I'm going to break the lines of communication. I'm going to stop praying and talking to him. I'm going to stop reading the Bible and hearing his voice. There's many people, sadly, have done this. Even churches can adopt this practice. Whenever the church isn't being filled, whenever people aren't being converted as they would wish, they can go a number of ways. Some resort to becoming intellectual, and instead of sermons, they give lectures. Others resort to entertainment, and they abandon the preaching of the word for the entertainment of men and women instead. Well, fourthly and finally today, what should our expectation of Jesus be? What expectation should you have of Jesus Christ? And with this, I'll finish. Your expectation of Jesus Christ, dear friend, should be this: that he has dealt with the greatest problems that you've ever had. He's dealt with your problem of sin, all those iniquities that you've performed against God. The Lord Jesus Christ has dealt with that problem. He's dealt with your problem of separation from God, because the Lord Jesus Christ came to reconcile us unto God. He has dealt with the problems of our eternal damnation, because he bore the wrath of his Father upon his own body on the cross of Calvary in our place. He shed his blood to redeem us and to reconcile us to God. So yes, we might have trials and troubles in life with money and with our health and with our family, and I'm not downplaying those. But the greatest problem that you've ever had, your problem of sin, the Lord Jesus Christ has dealt with on the cross of Calvary. He has dealt with that great problem. Therefore, dear friend, we ought to be looking to him and be thankful and joyful that the Savior has dealt with our problem of sin and our problem of alienation from God, and that he has come to restore us again. Christ has made atonement for the sins of his people. He has reconciled us to God. And our expectations of him are that he is with us, because he has promised never to leave us nor to forsake us, but to be with us even to the ends of the world. Our expectation of Jesus Christ should be that he's in heaven today and he hasn't forgotten us. He's praying for us. Our expectation of Jesus Christ should be that he's building his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Our expectation should be that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming to receive us unto himself. For that's what he promised his disciples. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. So, dear friend, our expectation should be that Jesus has done all things well. And we should look to him with that eye of faith and trust him, knowing that he will never fail us. Let us close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, how thankful we are that the Lord Jesus Christ is not a disappointment. He will never fail his people. He will never cease to love us. But he has promised that though we pass through the waters, he will be with us, that he will sustain us. And we thank thee for that glorious promise that he is coming to receive his own unto him. And we pray that all who are listening today will have those biblical expectations of Jesus, that they will not be fashioning expectations in their own hearts, but that they will be those who study the word and who have their minds framed by Holy Scripture. Write thy word to each one of our hearts now. We humbly pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.